Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Back in on the drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the brand new Odyssey app. Congratulations on getting through your 9 to 5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the brand new Odyssey app. So, Rob, let's give away our Slugger bobblehead doll as we celebrate people who have lost their wallet in some very unusual ways. Some of you might be asking to yourself, why? How did this happen? Well, Charles Barkley told a story earlier today on Inside the NBA. The story goes as follows.
Can I give a shout out? It's important.
Yeah, yes.
I want to give a shout out to a guy. He's a Georgia Bulldog.
Hey.
His name is Matt Powles. I hope I'm pronouncing his name correctly. I lost my wallet today, Ernie.
Mm-hmm.
And Matt Powles, P-Y-L-E-S, I hope I'm saying his name right, he returned it.
Yeah.
He got in touch with TNT and gave me my wallet back. And that was really awesome. I lost it at Chipotle.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know it.
You still carry a wallet?
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. Are you like the only person in the world that still carries a wallet?
Yeah. Ernie, why you lose your wallet? My story.
We use a wallet.
Chipotle.
That's real fat. You know that.
Kenny, do you carry a wallet?
Matt,
I have both.
Hey, you're a Georgia Bulldog. Thank you, Georgia Bulldog.
I have a wallet some days, and then some days I just use my.
Shaq, you carry a wallet?
I have a badge, sir.
Okay.
Wait, nobody carries a wallet but me?
Yeah.
I do carry it some days, but some days you just need, you don't need.
Thank you, Matt.
Yeah, hey, Matt, meet me at the spot where we talked about. We're gonna finish.
So that was the conversation earlier today on Inside the NBA. So it led us to give away a prize. What is the craziest way that you have lost your wallet? 913-576-7610. We have come to the end of our game. We have found a candidate of winners. Rob, let's go through and we'll give somebody a Slugger bobblehead doll for a very unusual way in which they have lost their wallet.
Here are the three finalists that I determined are A, real stories, and B, really funny within the story. Story one, of this fella or woman, I don't know, lost their wallet when they were in Arizona for a spring training game. They were unable to get on their return flight back to Kansas City after the spring training game because they did not have a wallet. They had to guess information about their dad's birthday correctly just to be allowed on the plane. A year later, Stadium called them and said, hey, we have your wallet. They went back down to Arizona. He got the wallet, and he was allowed to be ball boy at a spring training game where he met Mike Moustakas, Alex Gordon, and Whit Merrifield. Our second finalist in the Lost My Wallet sweepstakes. The person lost his wallet. His girl came over in high school in her dad's car. Her and this gentleman were doing some things in the back of the car. He dropped his wallet in the back seat of the car. The next time he went to his high school girlfriend's house, the dad had his wallet on the kitchen counter, asked him how he lost it in the back seat. And our final finalist for our wallet lost sweepstakes. A man had been seeing a woman for 8 months. He was over at her place one night. The next day he left and he realized he left his wallet. He went back the next morning to go get it, thinking nothing was a problem. When he rang the doorbell, a man answered the door claiming to be the husband of the woman. Those are our three finalists for the lost wallet story.
All right, text line 913-576-7610. I'll let the text line pick. I think these are all three very, very strong submissions. So number one is the spring training story. Number two is the high school wallet in the backseat. Number three is the confronted by the husband story. Three very strong entries, 913-576-7610. We'll let you know who wins coming up momentarily. I do have a quick question really quickly about wallets. And I will say that today's show has been very, very informative. I didn't know that so many of you were anti-traditional wallets. I'm very pro-traditional wallet. I know they've got these new fancy, they've got those Ridge wallets. I don't know if you've seen that before, Rob. They have those really thin, small wallets. I don't like those. I've tried to use them. They weren't really for me. I don't really like the phone wallet because I don't want to be in a situation in which I could potentially lose my phone and wallet at the exact same time. Right now, I keep them separate. I like them separate. I like that I could potentially lose my keys but still have all these other things. I don't want to condense my phone and my wallet into one thing. So now when I can't find my phone, I also can't find my wallet. That's not a situation that I want to find myself in. But I didn't know how many people were anti-billfold in this. Because when I first heard this clip, I thought they were just pulling a two Americas. This is the difference between being rich and poor. That if you're Shaq, you don't need to carry an ID. You're Shaquille O'Neal. Everybody knows who you are. But no, you still got to carry around some ID. You still got to carry around your debit card. They're just not using the old traditional wallet. Some things are always going to be better how they used to be. Now, I'm all for technology enhancements and doing things differently now than how we used to do it. And some things are faster and more efficient. They still haven't created a system better than the old school billfold. Whoever came up with this thing, I don't know when they came up with it, they peaked. They gave me everything I need to do. Functionality, comfort, style. They gave me everything I needed in one invention. It didn't need to be improved upon. Some things have reached its peak. We don't need to fix it. We don't need to enhance it. It's perfectly fine the way that it is. The old school traditional wallet is one of those things. It's perfectly fine the way the guy invented it.
I'm a wallet guy. I'm with you. When we heard this clip this morning, we were talking about it, and we were stunned about the lack of people who use wallets. I was stunned. Well, I'm not stunned. Josh Vernier doesn't put mayo on his grilled cheese, and he has a lot of other weird takes. He refuses to watch 80s movies, so I'm not stunned that Vern's not a wallet guy. But normal people are wallet people. I don't understand the money clip thing, especially when you don't carry cash. That boggles my mind. Two, I agree with you on the phone
thing. You carry cash?
I have like a few dollars on my
phone. This is how I think about it. Maybe this is just where I live. So I have live in downtown dollar. Kansas City. I live in downtown Kansas City. I assume at some point in my life I'm going to be robbed. Maybe that's like a really bad way of thinking, but at some point I just assume that's going to happen. I'm going to be walking late night. I'm going to just get caught slipping. I just assume this is going to happen at some point in my life. If you rob me, number one, I'm not here to negotiate and haggle with you. Give me your phone. I'll unlock it for you. What do you need me to do? Here, I got you. Here's the password. 7862. I'm going to give you my password right now to unlock the phone. I'm not sitting here about to argue with you over this phone. I ain't about to dial over Apple. I would hand you the phone. I don't keep cash because at some point when I get robbed, right, like somebody's going to be like, stick them up. Give me all your money. I'm just going to hand them like, yo, be cool. Here you go. Here's my wallet. You need what else do you need? You need these sneakers too? I got another pair of these back at the house. You can have these J's. I'll give them to you. I don't want to be in a situation where I can't replace the stuff that gets stolen. If you steal my phone, I can get a new phone tomorrow. If you steal my wallet, when I get back to wear a phone, I can cancel the debit card and I can do all those things. If you steal $100 from me, I can never get that $100 back. That's why I'm very anti-carrying cash. You can never get it back.
The fact that you are just convinced that one day you're going to get robbed 100%. And down in Kansas City is hilarious to me. I'm going to take us off real quick. 2 second story. Have you ever heard a story from Cody Tapp? Cody Tapp one day was in downtown. I think he was covering something at Big 12 tournament or something. And he's walking back to his car, minding his business. A man walks up to him, bumps into him. And Cody's like, what's up? And then the guy punches Cody in the face and walks away. So I would say you're not going to get robbed in downtown Kansas City. But the fact that strangers are punching Cody Tapp in the face makes me believe your inclination is right.
I just assume that's going to happen. Maybe that's a really bad way of thinking. It's never that I feel unsafe when I'm downtown. I just assume at some point I'm going to get caught lacking, and then they're just going to rob me. I'm just going to be like, all right, well, I mean, I've never been robbed before, but I've seen it enough in movies to know what you shouldn't do. That's the one thing. But Monty Jones always says is when you're getting robbed, you really only have one instruction. Follow instruction. That's the only responsibility I have is give you what you want. I'm not about to get shot over any of this stuff. So I would give it to you. The text line is pretty emphatic that 2 is the winner.
So that's the 2 the winner. That means our winner is high school girlfriend wallet lost.
High school girlfriend guy is the winner of it. So get his information and we'll send him the Slugger bobblehead doll. Congratulations to you in our very fun game of wallet losing stories. Coming up in a little bit, I'll tell you guys about I watched Back to the Future for the first time. I'll give you my review of Back to the Future. I actually very much enjoyed Back to the Future, so the review is going to be very, very positive. But before we do that, Rob, let's get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City.
Okay, now, from the beginning.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Check it out.
The top stories of the day, every day at 5 o'clock. The hits.
Cue it up.
One.
Let's go!
Well, the top story of the day in Kansas City, other than the scuffling Royals, are the Kansas City Chiefs, who are at minicamp today. And at minicamp is Frank Clark. Earlier today, Jake Glazer tweeted the Chiefs are considering moving Chris Jones to DN more often on the team this upcoming year. Frank Clark today at minicamp availability was asked about that exact thing.
Man, I think it kind of opens up the game more, honestly. You find a lot of times, you know, we made it easier on teams to make adjustments and stuff last year when me and Chris lined up on the same side. And I mean, that's due to the position. You know, it's only so much you can help when, you know, you got one guy playing three tech, you got another guy playing the end. But, you know, Chris going to the end position, it just opens up the game much more. You know, it makes it harder. You know, now they got to pick a size, you know, whether we're going to slide right or we're going to slide left. You know, we just know now it's a higher chance that we're going to be able to get, you know, better looks and stuff like that from the offense.
Between that and what Jay Glazer said in his Twitter, Carrington, plus reports we've heard earlier, do you like the idea of the Chiefs shifting Chris Jones out to DN this upcoming season?
Rob, cut the beat. There is no player on the Kansas City Chiefs with more pressure on them to perform this season than Frank Clark. If you look at the way that Frank Clark's contract is structured, and the way that it's put together, this is a contract year for Frank Clark. Frank Clark this season is going to make a base salary of $18.5 million. He is still owed $5.2 million for signing bonus. Of course, he showed up now for the workout bonus because you remember he wasn't here, but who's in the business of giving away $500,000? He also gets $1.6 million in a restructure. To add all of that up, Frank Clark is going to make $25.8 million this year. That is what his cap hit is. At the end of this season, the Chiefs can cut Frank Clark and save $14 million. Now, you guys have been watching the same Chiefs games that I've been watching, and I do not see a scenario in which the Chiefs are keeping Frank Clark on a $26.3 million cap hit next season and where they could save $14 million. So push come to shove next year, Frank Clark is either going to restructure his contract and extend it and lower the cap number for Kansas City, or he's not going to be playing for the Chiefs next season. And given how these 2 years have gone for Kansas City, where he hasn't been the healthiest of players, also hasn't been the most productive of players, this is a big year for Frank Clark. I need to see the player that he was in Seattle, because we can talk about how he rose in the playoffs and did those things. Sure, perfectly fine. His last 2 seasons in Seattle, he got 22 sacks his last 2 seasons with the Seattle Seahawks. So far in Kansas City, in his 2 seasons, he has 14 sacks. His last year in Seattle, he had 27 quarterback hits. He has 29 quarterback hits in the 2 seasons he's been with Kansas City. He has not been a super productive player. So if you're Frank Clark, and I would say in terms of help on the defensive line, I don't really know if you can ask for much more than what Frank Clark's going to have. They brought back his homeboy, Jaron Reed, who is one of the better nose tackles in the NFL, was a surprise cut, and Frank Clark played his best season in 2018. Guess who the nose tackle was in that scenario? It was Jaren Reed, Derek Nnadi, who is not going to be a guy who's going to eat up a lot of sacks. That's not his role on the team. Derek Nnadi is in there to be a big body and clog up the middle, right? That's his role. On the opposite side, you've got Chris Jones, who Chris Jones, I think, if he's not going to be as focused when it comes to stopping the run, if you're going to tell him very simply, go get after the quarterback, I think we can see more of 2018 Chris Jones than we saw of 2020, who only got 7.5 sacks. Ever since that year in 2018, we have seen a big decline when it comes to getting after the quarterback. In 2018, Chris Jones had 15.5 sacks and 19 tackle for losses. You cannot play that position as well as Chris Jones played it back in 2018, this side of Aaron Donald. Since then, he has had a 9 sack season, a 7.5 sack season, and he only has 11 tackle for losses as opposed to 19 just in the one season. I think that Chris Jones is going to be a more productive player. I think he's the big winner in all of this, moving him over to a traditional pass rush spot. But that means on the opposite side with Frank Clark, he has to do his job. The Chiefs didn't go out in free agency, didn't go out of the draft and get pass rush. They're assuming that between Chris Jones, Frank Clark, and Taco Charlton, they'll be able to get enough pass rush. We'll see if they end up being right. I feel pretty confident in Chris Jones and his ability to do it. I feel pretty confident in Taco Charlton. If he's going to be healthy, I think he can get pressure on the quarterback. The guy I'm most worried about is the player who has the third highest cap hit of any defensive player in the NFL. Long story short, Frank Clark's got to be better. I ain't telling you nothing you don't know here, but Frank Clark has to be better. So I ain't really here to talk much about Chris Jones. I'm here to talk about Frank Clark and how he has as much pressure on him as any member of this team to step up and perform this year, because financially it could be the difference between signing a 2-year, $20 million deal and really getting paid again next year if he goes and balls out.
Well, their top story in the NFL in Kansas City today is Derek Carr, who is going out of his way to talk about how much he loves Raider Nation. Today, during his media availability with the Las Vegas Raiders, he said, quote, "I would probably quit football if I had to play anywhere else." That is from Raiders quarterback Derek Carr.
He sucks.
Carrington, what do you feel about Derek Carr?
He sucks. Does anybody like Derek Carr? Anybody? Raiders fans don't like Derek Carr. Chiefs fans don't like Derek Carr. Broncos, the 6 people that cheer for the Los Angeles Chargers, nobody likes Derek Carr. He might be the most unbeloved player in the league. He stinks. I remember last year. Remember last year when he gave that one quote where he was like, "I'm tired. I'm sick." Here it goes. This foolishness.
"I'm sick of losing, Levi. I'm sick of working as hard as I do and as we do, and going out there and losing. I mean, it sucks. Enough is enough. You know, I think that's my message. You know, I'm excited, you know, obviously for that. I dreamed of it when I got drafted here. I looked all those stats up and was like, man, I want to break all these, you know, as a competitor, but I'm sick of losing. Like, enough's enough. I'm tired of it."
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Stinks. I really don't like that guy. He's reaching a Paul Pierce level of dislike. He really is.
Really?
He's reaching a Paul Pierce level.
Wow.
I just don't like that guy. I really don't like him.
Three.
I just think he's corny. He's corny past typical corniness of a quarterback. Like, I think Russell Wilson is corny. Russell's really corny. But Russell's at least cool when it comes to this kind of stuff. He's not good enough to do some of the yapping that he does. He's just not good enough.
Well, speaking of quarterbacks in the NFL, our third and final hit today is about Cam Newton.
Hey, earlier, my guy.
Earlier today at Patriots availability for minicamp, Bill Belichick said, quote, "Cam's way ahead of where he was last year at this time. There's no question about that. Carrington, I would hope that he's ahead of where he was this time last year.
He was
terrible last year.
He also, I don't know if he was on the team at this point last year either.
That's a good, but we didn't have minicamp, so who knows? My question to you is this. Is there any player in the entire NFL who has more to prove this upcoming season than one Cam Newton?
Rob, cut the beat. Derek Carr, excuse me, I don't know. I have still Derek Carr in my brain.
You got that anger just pulsing through your veins.
He upsets me. Cam Newton played in 15 games last year. 15, 1-5. The only game he missed actually was the Chiefs game. The only game he didn't play last year. You know how many touchdown passes Cam Newton threw last year in 15 games? Like, I don't know if the average fan knows this. You know how many touchdown passes Cam Newton threw last year? 8. He threw 8 in 15 games. He threw 10 interceptions. Cam was the worst starting quarterback in the NFL last year. As much as we talk about Drew Lock, as much as we talk about Daniel Jones, as much as I love to joke on Andy Dalton last year when he stepped in for Dak Prescott, Cam was the worst starting quarterback last year in the NFL. He's got a very short leash. To me, this is the difference between Cam being in the league and out the league. Cam's a smart guy. Cam could do a lot of things in a post-NFL world. I wouldn't be surprised to see him design clothes, maybe sign on with the brand, do a lot of cool stuff in his next phase of his life. But his time of being a starting quarterback could be like 6 more games in the NFL. If he gets off to a really rough start, and he struggles as much as he struggled last year, I don't know how long Cam is going to be for starting in the NFL. So I like Cam. I would consider myself to be a Cam Newton fan. He's got to play better than he played last year. I think that it is a very quick leash for him. I think he is in the same place as Drew Lock. Different stages of their career, obviously, but with the backup that the team clearly likes. You don't draft a quarterback in the first round if you're New England. You don't trade for Bridgewater if you don't like him, an established veteran QB. If they get off to a 2-4 start and they're not good, I could very easily see them making a move and replacing Cam Newton and or replacing Drew Lock. I think those are the two players this year in the league that have the most pressure on them heading into the season. You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com. and the brand new Odyssey app. We'll step aside. Coming up here on the other side, I watched Back to the Future for the first time. I'll give you my official review of that. We'll talk a little bit more quarterbacks as well. We'll also get you ready for Royals and Tigers today, as the Royals, they need a jump start in the worst way. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive on 610 Sports Radio.
The Drive, 610 Sports Radio. Welcome back into The Drive on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
The National Cash Contest code word for 5 o'clock is shadow, S-H-A-D-O-W. I almost misspelled that. I had to slow down a little bit. I was about to embarrass myself and put myself on the Summer Jam screen. And I don't want that. S-H-A-D-O-W. Text the word shadow to 72881. That's shadow. S-H-A-D-O-W to 72881. You can be the $1,000 winner in the National Cash Contest. The National Cash Contest is powered by BetQL. Win more and cash in with the help of BetQL. Download the BetQL app today to learn more That's BetQL. So if you guys missed it, we are going through 80s movies and I'm giving my review. I have watched Top Gun so far. I've watched Vacation. I also watched Princess Bride. I am now on to my fourth movie, and I will watch a movie every day for the rest of June, an 80s movie. I watched Back to the Future earlier today. And let me tell you, Rob, I loved it. This is my favorite movie that I've watched so far among this. This is my favorite movie. Now, I will say, Rob, you tried to tell me that the storyline was very weird, and I didn't really know what you meant because I didn't really have a frame of reference for the storyline other than I knew they went back in time. I see what you mean. Now, I didn't know that there was this, like, controversy and debate. So you think that some funny business happened in the very beginning of the movie? Like, I didn't think that's what happened.
There is a... I'm trying to think the word. There are people, and I'm probably one of them, that believe there's some weirdness that happened in the beginning of the movie because I know he got knocked out, but he woke up in his mom's bedroom pantsless with her sitting there. That feels like something bad happened because it's a mother and son. Something nefarious occurred there. I was talking to earlier Scott Parks. Like, no, there's no way that would happen. But he loves the movies. He's a bad barometer. I think there's some iffiness there. At the very least, we can all agree, the fact that he kissed his mother is weirdo behavior.
No, his mom was actively pursuing him in a relationship for most of the movie. So, like, the core of the movie is really weird. But it's funny because if you see the movie, it actually makes sense. Like, if you remember, Doc Brown was telling him how you can't mess with the outcomes of individual things because you'll mess up the future. So whenever he sees George, he's about to get hit by the car. He tries to save him from getting hit by the car. And then he replaces his dad in that scenario, which then I think creates a little bit of a humor element that I actually found really funny in the movie. One of my favorite scenes in the movie was in the very, very beginning. So he gets to 1955. And if you remember, he first is in those in that people's barn and they think that he's an alien. That part's kind of funny. And then he speeds off in the DeLorean. And then he eventually goes to the diner and he's sitting there and then he realizes that guy's his father. And he's trying to like, yo, you don't got to let Biff treat you this way. Biff's a loser. And he also stood up to Biff at every point in the movie, which makes the movie really cool. Now, I will say this. I typically have the movie needs to be good in the first 15 minutes. I'm a big if the movie doesn't grab me. I thought this movie started off kind of slow. I was like, what is this? Like, when do we start getting to the DeLorean and all the cool stuff that I've heard about in this? But once he met up with Doc Brown, the first 20 minutes of the movie made sense. I thought it wrapped up very neatly at the end. I thought this was a very well-told story from start to finish. I loved the characters. I loved Marty McFly. I thought his dad was a good character. I thought his mom was a good character. I liked his girlfriend for the limited time that she was in it. But Doc Brown stole the show. Christopher Lloyd. I don't know who won Best Picture that year or who was Best Actor, but it should have gone to Doc Lloyd. I can't see anybody else being the Doc. Who would you cast to be that? You got to have like a Robin Williams-like personality to pull off how eccentric of a character he was. Two thumbs up. You know what I'm giving? I'm giving Back to the Future a 9. This is my favorite movie that I've watched so far. I'm excited for the sequel. I can't wait to watch Back to the Future 2. It's on Netflix right now. They're taking it off June 30th. I'm in, Rob. I'm in for Back to the Future. Great movie. Two thumbs up for me. 5 popcorn bags. I'm giving it a 9 out of 10. Now, I will say, Rob, I have known a theme in a lot of these movies. They ain't too fond of black people. In Vacation, not very fond of black people. In this movie, the 2 times there were black people, Rob, one of them got called color. The other person got called a spook in this movie. Not very fond of black people. But to be fair, the movie's also based in 1955.
I'm going to say, let me
America
defend-
was not too fond of black people during that time either.
I'm going to say the Vacation one's bad. And wasn't good then, bad now. at least the Back to the Future one, they were referencing that there was racism in the country in the 50s, right? They were at least pointing it out. But yeah, these films have not been great in that regard, which kind of explains why you haven't seen them. I get why a young Carrington didn't sit down and watch a movie that called them spooks. I get it. It makes sense to me. It all adds up.
But I did like the movie, though. I did. I enjoyed it. I'd give it a 9. I am excited to see the second one. Now, the text line has thoroughly convinced me to not watch the third one. Like, I didn't really know much about the third one. I never really heard a lot of conversation about it. I know the second one is where he wears the hyper dunks, and I'm actually kind of excited for that scene, just as somebody who likes sneakers. Like, I'm actually excited for that scene. Nobody has given me any reason to watch Back to the Future 3.
Well, because there is no reason to watch Back to the Future 3. They go to the Old West for some reason. I don't really remember anything else about it except they're in the Old West, and it's just, it's a big skip. It was a money grab.
They go to
everyone
the
lost.
Old West.
Yeah, don't.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah, no, that don't watch the one.
I don't even know what the second one's about. Okay, everybody's gonna laugh at me.
There's a Easter egg at the end of one about what will be in two.
What is that?
Remember, he leaves the almanac back in the past.
Oh,
remember that?
Not really.
Yeah, he leaves a sports almanac back in the past.
Okay.
And Biff gets it.
Okay. All right. So we have our movies. I've watched Back to the Future, so we have decided. I am watching Goonies, right? I'm watching Goonies.
Mm-hmm. We'll do that Thursday, because I have a shortened show tomorrow because of the Royals. I don't want to jam a Goonies reference in there for you.
I mean, I don't mind watching Goonies.
I mean, you can watch it, but let's do the review on Thursday.
Okay, that's fine. We have Goonies, and then we have, what's the other movie?
You were discussing watching Back to the Future 2, so that has changed the timeline.
No, I'll watch something else. I'll watch Back to the Future. I'll watch it separately. I actually want to watch it.
Okay, here are the other films. I remember we agreed on Uncle Buck.
Uncle Buck, okay,
Uncle
cool.
Buck will be your next film. Uncle
I got
Buck,
you there.
Written by the same people who did Breakfast Club. And if you like, okay. you like Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, right? You enjoy that film?
Which movie? I was reading the text on. I'm
Planes,
sorry.
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. You enjoy that film, correct?
Yeah, that's one of the few everything-that-can-go-wrong comedies I actually like.
This is not as everything can go wrong, so I think you will enjoy Uncle Buck. It's a good movie.
All right, I'm ready to check it out. Text line, what would you consider to be a 10? Just curious. Ferris Bueller's Day Off, I would consider to be a 10. I would consider Coming to America as an 80s movie, I would consider a 10. I would put Breakfast Club as a 10, too. I love Breakfast Club. Those are three movies that I would consider to be a 10. From that era of film.
Cinema. Become a snob when you watch these. Go full cinema. A cinematic masterpiece.
Yo, we got to talk about Steven Spielberg here. That is one thing that I've learned. Yo, Steven Spielberg, what is in this man's mind?
He wrote the story for Goonies, your next one, so you'll enjoy that.
I mean, Steven Spielberg, there might not be anybody as good in their field as he is. As I was sitting there watching this, like in the very beginning, I didn't know Steven Spielberg was in. I guess I could have put two and two together that he had made that movie. But, I mean, talk about an incredible run. Indiana Jones, E.T.,
both
Jaws,
on your list.
He made Schindler's List, Saving Private Ryan. I mean, just Jurassic Park. I don't know if there's anybody who's been as good as their job as Steven Spielberg is as his job of making movies. He's pretty amazing.
He has been very, very good. He has kind of missed recently.
The text line is saying that the almanac is in the second one and that you're going to ruin it for me.
Well, it's like the very beginning. You know how the movie starts.
Yeah, because at the very end of this one, he says, it's not about you, it's about your kids. That's what he says at the very beginning. And then he and the young lady, they get in the car. And then that's when he says, where we're going, we don't need roads.
But I'm still looking at Steven Spielberg's. Catch Me If You Can is awesome. Minority Report, awesome. And then a bunch of movies.
I just want to know who's two. Like, if he's one.
Scorsese. Scorsese's two.
Scorsese's two?
Scorsese is 1,000% two.
You're telling me if I did my Googles during the break, I couldn't find anybody to rival Scorsese. There's nobody I could find to rival his movies. Because Spielberg, like, this isn't you. This is stupid.
I mean, Spielberg's one. We agree Spielberg's one.
Yeah, I mean, he might be 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5.
I mean, I'm just looking at Scorsese right here. We got Raging Bull. We got Taxi Driver. Goodfellas. Casino. Gangs of New York. The Aviator, Departed, Shutter Island, Wolf of Wall Street. I mean, come on.
Some of those movies ain't that good.
What are you talking about?
Go through the list you just said. The Aviator, that counts as... That Aviator movie's was a good. Hit for you.
The Aviator was good. It
that
wasn't
movie
as good.
Stinks.
Shutter Island, really good.
No, that movie's not really. That movie's not really
the
good.
The Departed, elite.
I agree. I'm not saying he doesn't have elite movies, but if you're telling me part of your elite category is Shutter Island and The Aviator, those aren't elite movies.
Those are elite. I don't know what you're talking about. Those are elite movies.
Those are not elite movies.
Also, The Wolf of Wall Street, elite.
I agree.
Departed or Goodfellas, one of the two might be my favorite. Gang movie ever. And then Casino. You know how I love Casino.
No, it's a great movie.
Raging Bull.
I don't like Raging Bull.
What?
I mean, maybe I watched it a long time ago, and I love Rocky so much. I didn't love it. A lot of people are saying James Cameron's ahead of Scorsese. James Cameron might be ahead of him.
No. If you did Avatar, you're immediately invalid. Avatar was not as good as people talked about it was.
That's half of the damn movies you just listed.
Avatar was just a cash grab to throw movies in 3D and get schmucks to go to the theater and buy the special glasses.
I'm looking right now at James Cameron.
He's going to get Titanic, which is actually not that good either.
Okay,
but.
All right. Terminator.
Good.
Rambo.
Okay.
Aliens. Terminator good. 2. Point Break. True Lies. Titanic. Avatar
doesn't count.
All right, I would give Scorsese over James Cameron. Yeah. Now that I'm going through his list again.
I'm not out here just running James Cameron, but I mean, Scorsese's better than James Cameron. A lot of people are saying Tarantino. I love Tarantino. He's not for everyone.
Yeah, I don't love Tarantino the way that everybody else does.
I love Tarantino, but I know he's not for everyone.
I mean, I've seen most of the Tarantino movies everybody tells you that you need to see.
Yeah.
The only great one I don't think I've seen is Jackie Brown. I've never seen Jackie Brown before.
It's good. I mean, I don't think as much as the other ones, but, you know, I've seen it because I've seen all the Tarantino movies.
Yeah, I've seen all the other ones. I don't love them the way that you guys love Tarantino movies.
Someone said Ron Howard. Ron Howard.
Ron Howard's strong.
Ron Howard movies. He got Inferno and Angels and Demons. Frost Nixon is awesome. Da Vinci Code. Cinderella Man. A Beautiful Mind. Apollo 13, that's a good list.
Hold on, now that I'm thinking about it, I mean, Christopher Nolan might be up there with your guy.
Nolan had a lot of misses recently.
No, he's had some misses. You know, I'm going to look through Christopher Nolan on the other side. We'll get into before we go. We'll keep arguing about movies because what else are we going to argue about? The Royals have won one game in the last 2.5 weeks. And we'll do that. Keep it locked right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive. Weekdays 2 to 6.
We gotta get out of here.
Before we go.
So, Rob and I are basically doing a versus with director. So, I watched Back to the Future and Steven Spielberg made it, and it's not even fair, honestly, the amount of movies that he's made over the last 40 or 50 years or so. So, Christopher Nolan here. So, who do you have again, Rob? I have Christopher Nolan. Who do you have?
I have David Fincher.
Okay. David Fincher, I love Social Network. That's like one of my 10 favorite movies. I love that movie.
By the way, we should have done this backwards because I love Christopher Nolan. Inception might be one of my favorite movies of all time.
Okay, so I'm sitting here looking at it. This is a strong run from Christopher Nolan. Prestige, which might be the most underrated movie in the last 20 years.
Fantastic. Although I didn't love Scar Joe in it, but that's neither here nor there.
The Prestige might be the most underrated movie in the last 20 years. Dark Knight in
amazing.
08, Inception in 2010. That is a strong 3-movie stretch for any director. And then followed it up with Dark Knight Rises, which I don't love Dark Knight Rises, but a lot of other people do. He then made Interstellar, which I think is fine. I don't think it's up to the level of those other movies, but it's fine. He made Dunkirk and then came back with Tenet. I still haven't seen Tenet because nobody that I know that loves movies has given me a glowing review of Tenet. Not a single person. Like, you love movies the way I love movies. You're like, it's okay. It's all right. So I'm like, I'm not about to watch no 2-hour and 50-minute movie that's just all right. I'm not that interested in it.
Yeah, I got to wash the taste out of my mouth of Tenet, which is probably why I'm a little down on him. But I mean, the hits with Fincher. Now, Fincher's problem is he doesn't really have a lot of movies, but the hits. 7, amazing. Fight Club, amazing. Panic Room, I've never seen, but people like it.
I like Panic Room. Panic Panic Room, though, Panic Room is a good FX movie. You know the kind of movie I'm talking about. It's Sunday in April, and you're just like looking for something to watch. Panic Room is good.
I loved Zodiac. I don't know why. Zodiac was really good to me. People loved Curious Case of Benjamin Button. That wasn't for me, but people loved it.
He's got some misses here. I'm not hearing a lot of misses when it comes to Nolan.
Social Network.
I genuinely love that movie.
Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, again, critically acclaimed, wasn't for me. And then Gone Girl. Gone Girl was awesome.
I don't hear a lot of big jokers, though. Nolan's got big jokers. Memento, Prestige, the Batman trilogy. Batman Begins is good. Dark Knight might be
the best superhero movie ever, maybe.
I think it's one of I think if you're making movies, Dark Knight's probably in the top 25.
Probably, yeah.
That's the thing. Fincher doesn't have the height of Nolan.
No, he didn't hit the highest highs, but he doesn't fall off the same way.
Yeah. Nolan, he's had a strong run. A really, really strong run. Text line 913-576-7610. What are you talking about? The only thing FX shows is Grown Ups and Grown Ups 2. I can't argue that. I can't.
You like Grown Ups, though, don't you?
I like the first one. I like the first one again in an FX kind of way. In an FX kind of way.
It's on in the background. We don't really care.
Now that you're reading Fincher, and I love House of Cards, and I love Social Network. He's not ahead of Tarantino. And we're just talking movies.
I do love Tarantino,
and I don't even love Tarantino like that, but you got to give him... He's got plaques, Pulp Fiction, Django, Kill Bill 1 and 2. He's got...
No, I love Tarantino. You're the one who's down on Tarantino more than me.
I just don't like those movies. Like, I went to go see that One Night in Hollywood.
Oh, that was amazing. I love that.
I remember I had passes to go see Hobbs and Shaw. I think that was the one. It was at the same time.
Yeah, that was Hobbs and Shaw.
I got there like a little bit too late. So the only place I could sit at the front of the movie. I'm like, I'm not doing that for this movie. I don't want to see it that bad. So like 2 minutes later, One Night in Hollywood. And I'm like, I'm already here. We already got popcorn. Let's just go see this movie, right? It just didn't do it for me. I don't think that Reservoir Dogs is as good as everyone else thinks that it is. It's not bad, but I don't love it the way that everyone else loves it.
It's not my favorite Tarantino movie, but it's really good. I mean,
yeah,
I enjoy
it. It's okay.
I mean, my favorite Tarantino movie is probably Inglourious Basterds. That's probably my top one.
I'd say Django, but...
Django's in that same conversation. I also really liked Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Those are the three for me at the top.
Yeah, I like Django. It's like... I don't need to see Django again, though. There aren't any movie that I feel like I need to see again that's in his catalog. But I know that makes me unique. Who do you have winning today, Nets or Bucks?
I got the Bucks tonight. I think we're going to see from James Harden is very Anthony Davis-ish, and it's going to be more of a setback and a hindrance than it is a positive. So I think for that reason, I'm going to take Giannis to go into Brooklyn, which means we have a series because a road team will win.
I think the Nets are going to win today. I got to roll with KD here. I got to roll with Durant here and the home team. I'm going to be really curious to see how much Harden can contribute today. Like, there's no chance that Harden is normal Harden, right? No chance of that. But is he going to be Anthony Davis? Like, there's a big gap between what Anthony Davis could give you a couple of weeks ago and what Harden could potentially do today. So, let's say Harden can score 20 today. I think the Nets win today. I haven't been this excited for an NBA playoff game in a while.
I mean, for a guy who was out 2 days ago, 20 is a big ask.
I just think this is one of those legacy games. Like, this is one of those games in which we draw major conclusions on players today based on how Giannis and KD play. I'm excited for it. I can't wait to go home and watch it. I appreciate you guys listening. We're off a little bit. We're actually on a little bit early tomorrow. The Royals have a day game tomorrow as they look to defeat the Detroit Tigers. We'll be on after that. We appreciate you listening. We'll catch you tomorrow. Keep it locked right here. It's The Drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.